word of testimony. I'm going to ask.
I feel very official getting all these things, all these gadgets onto me. But I must say I'm glad to be back with you and to share in this your friends and family night and also as part of your anniversary services. We hear a lot today about negotiations, both in the political world and elsewhere. Well, last Saturday afternoon I was all very happy doing my ironing and a couple of gentlemen, namely your clerk of session, Mr. Albert McIntyre, and my husband here behind me, were having a few negotiations on the phone. And as an outcome of those talks, I'm here before you tonight. So you will have to bear with me. Of the 50 years of the existence of this work here in Coleraine, we as a family can recall and identify with almost 20 years of that time. And that's quite a chunk out of the 50 years. But we can rejoice with praise and thanksgiving to the Lord for his hand upon us during those 20 years here. Anniversary services, like all other anniversary services, are a time when we look back. We look back to consider the past, what has gone before. We also view or take stock of the present, where we are now, and in anticipation, we look to the future. Tonight, for a short time, I'm going to do just that. I would like to reflect or look back to that time in my life's experience when I came to know my Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and also to reflect on some people who down through the years has influenced me as a Christian. I was born into a very good home. I had a loving, caring mum and dad. And tonight I could not speak too highly of the precious memories I have of both of them. This is the first time that I have sought to give my testimony since mum went on to be with the Lord, which will be 2 years in the next month. Sunday school in our home was a must. You weren't asked did you want to go or did you feel well enough to go, but it was just the usual routine. You got up on the Sunday morning and we as a family all got ready for Sunday school. My mum and dad put the needs of their six children first, and so we were all sent along to Sunday school. Sometimes you had to walk. If you were lucky enough, you might have got a lift home, but there just wasn't so many cars or lifts then, and you certainly weren't lifted at the door and laid back again. But anyway, we attended McNabb Presbyterian Church. McNabb Presbyterian Church is situated in the beautiful Valley of the Braid, and it's overshadowed by Slemmage Mountain. And if you ever want a good sightseeing place to go in the summertime, you visit that part of the world. At Sunday school, I learned the catechisms. I learned the child's catechism and the shorter catechism. And through much hard work and repetition, I was able to recite the answers to the 107 questions of the shorter catechism in the shortest time it had ever been done previously. And so my superintendent informed me. It didn't mean a lot to me as a young girl at that time, but it has proved invaluable to me since I came to know the Lord. Every Sunday afternoon as well, after dinner was over, and at 3 o'clock, we went to the Brethren Sunday School. John Thomas Logan was my Sunday School teacher, but he was just affectionately known as John T, and everybody around McNabb knew him because he had a shop in the village, and there was everything in that shop from a needle to an anchor. He was a dear old man of God. His attitude, his compassion, and his sincerity had an influence upon my life. And I suppose tonight I can honestly say on reflection that John T's life and testimony really spoke to me as a young girl. As he told those lovely gospel stories, week in and week out, of how the Lord Jesus loved us so much that he went all the way to Calvary and there shed his precious blood to save us from our sins, I listened with great enthusiasm. I also remember that we were given little gospel tracts home with us and other pieces of gospel literature. I remember I always loved to read them. I may have, in my very young years, asked the Lord into my heart, but I cannot remember that distinctly. However, the years went by. The Lord, in his mercy, preserved me from the deep things of the world, and I thank God for that tonight. Just at this part of my testimony, let me say to young people here who perhaps are unsaved or maybe backslidden in heart, you don't need to go into the things of the world, for there's no satisfaction there. I would emphasize that, for it is the road to disaster, and it can leave upon your life lifelong scars, even if you do become a Christian. Moving on in my life, a tent mission came to our town land, and I decided to attend. That mission was very well attended. All the local people came. Some walked long distances, others rode bicycles, and I decided to go with my mother. And we attended that mission for the full 3 weeks. It was on the last night of that mission that I really felt the weight of my sin, and I had a burden. I knew I had no peace with God. And I recognised my need that night. There was an appeal made, and yes, I did put up my hand, but that doesn't save you. But I also stayed behind after that meeting was over, and I spoke with the pilgrim there, and I was pointed to the Lord. My sins that night were real to me. I had a burden, and I knew I needed to get right with God. I didn't have to give up things like smoking or drinking or swearing or any of those things, but I did have to give up my sin, and that is important to remember. For the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that little word, all, just three letters, that included me. And there will be no exceptions. If we do not get rid of our sins, then heaven we will never see. And I knew that night I was saved. Coming on down through the years, down to the year 1971, my husband got saved the 15th of April 1971. And I, with my two children, my two girls that God had given to me, Janice Marina, we then joined Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church. That was a very precious milestone in our life. And as I went there Sunday by Sunday, under the faithful teaching ministry of the Reverend James Beggs, I could reflect there too that his life, his gracious manner, his faithful preaching of the Word of God influenced me greatly. Soon I became involved in the children's work and then later in the Bible class. Under Mr. Beggs's ministry, my husband felt called into full-time service. Then after successfully completing his O-levels, he had 4 years to do in the Theological Hall. There was no Whitfield College of the Bible in those days. You just went up to the Martyrs Church. Now for me, as well as my husband, for me and the two girls, those were 4 very difficult years. 4 very difficult years financially, 4 very difficult years in many other aspects. It was a complete new way of life for me. But I must say honestly before God that I was behind my husband 100% from the day he told me that he wanted to go on and do something for the Lord. I never stopped him in any way or said anything that would be detrimental to him going on with the Lord, and I can say that. I also made a covenant with the Lord that no matter how hard I was getting it financially, I wouldn't mention it to anyone. And tonight I can stand here and I can testify how good and faithful the Lord has been to us as a family. Our bills were met in those 4 years, and the Lord supplied our need in a way that I couldn't even imagine it would ever have been done. On the 28th of November 1980, we came here to work among you in Coleraine. It was in the old Hanover Church that my husband was ordained and installed as your minister. And as I have said, we laboured here for the next almost 20 years. And in that time, we have made very many good and trusted friends, and we have very many precious years of the time spent here in Coleraine. When this new building was opened on the 16th of October 1982, the ensuing mission saw some 80 plus souls saved. Those were very precious and memorable times. The Lord really worked in a wonderful way. And I can remember saying to my husband every night before we came out to the mission, who's going to get saved tonight? You looked forward with anticipation to who would walk those aisles. Those were wonderful days. And we would love with all our hearts to see times like that back again in our congregations. Even after the mission, my husband pointed many souls to the Lord. And we thank God that many of those souls who did come to the Lord went on well with the Lord. And it was really the beginning of the building up of the work here in this new building. I thank God tonight that down through the years we have very many precious memories of our work here. I would also think of the lovely memories that I have of those who are not with us tonight. Many have run the race. For them, the course is finished and they are tonight in the presence of the Lord. Last year, 2006, was a particularly difficult year for me due to my husband's illness. But the Lord gave me a wee verse the day he came out of hospital on the 27th of April last year. It was from C.H. Spurgeon's Daily Readings. And it was Psalm 138 and verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. I am just so thankful tonight to the Lord that he was able to return to his pulpit in Dunnacadie at Christmas 2006. And that we were both able to join here tonight and coming here tonight. I'm so thankful for all the Lord has done in regard to this. Now, I'm sure you'll agree with me that life is motoring on for all of us. We're not getting any younger and we're all going the same way. Tonight, I have reflected on the past, where I started my journey. I have thought of the present, but for the child of God, we have a glorious future. We have a great future. For the Lord has reminded us, he said, I have gone to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. In the little book of James, in the epistle of James, we are exhorted not only to be hearers of the word, but to be doers also. You know, it is possible to come and go to the house of God and to be hearing all the time and yet not to be doing anything. And it's important that we're also doers of the work. We can hear the word of God, but unless we act upon what we hear, our lives will be fruitful. In conclusion, am I speaking to anyone here tonight who cannot reflect as I have done on the time when they met the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour? Am I speaking to someone here tonight whose sins are not yet forgiven? Or perhaps someone who made a profession years ago but are cold tonight? This can be the starting point for you tonight. You can come tonight and get your life put right with God. I like that wee verse which says, looking on to Jesus, the author, that's the beginning, and the finisher, he will perfect that is started in our lives. The author and finisher of our faith. Tonight, just in conclusion, I would also like to congratulate Harry and Jean for their faithfulness down through the past 50 years. And I pray in the time that lies ahead, in the years that lie ahead, that the Lord will really bless this congregation and indeed that you will see many souls won for him. May this wee word of testimony bring honour and glory to the Lord. And don't forget, if I am speaking to someone here that's unsaved, make this the night of your decision. Come and trust him. He is a faithful God. And the word of God says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. May the Lord bless you all.